Y'all know I'm a little weird. But anyway, as always, dear Lord, just guide my words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so every time I get up here, it's a little weird because I don't know what I'm going to say. And honestly, since I stepped down from being up here last time in October, I've been thinking about this message. And like I said, just don't ever really know what to talk about. And it's always funny being up here. It kind of reminds me of my first time being up here. All I remember really from it was, it's probably 3 months prior, Shishi comes up to me and was like, "You want to give a sermon?" And at the time, I was like, "What?" At least I said that to myself, within myself. I think the only thing that came out of my mouth was, "Yeah." At the time, did I think I was ready for it? Not so much. But she had enough faith in me. Clearly, her faith in me was God-sent. And I got up here, I did my thing, and came on down, and y'all told me I did all right. So that was a weird moment for me. That was a moment that kind of changed me. Of course, as time goes on, other things happened. And one of those other things was dealing with everything that happened with my father. I remember vividly that the day I came home late from college. Bear with me. It was like my first week, freshman year of college, and I come home and see my dad's car in the yard. Nothing out of the ordinary. The only out of the ordinary thing that happened was Shishi comes yelling. And not just any old ordinary yelling. She's trying to track me down and get me now. She ends up telling me my dad's in the hospital. So, of course, that night, everything goes through my mind. And I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to do. I end up crying for a bit. That was a change I really wasn't ready to deal with. Dealing with my father's mortality was not something that I was ready to deal with. I think I told one of my friends, the thing that scares me the most is losing my father. Now, since then, me and my father have had many conversations about said mortality, and not only talking about his, but everybody's. He was just straight up with me. I mean, at the time, I was 18, 19 years old when we first had the talk, and he was like, "Dude, we're just on loan to each other." And that helped me deal with that change. You know, so, and then trying to figure out balance in college, trying to figure out balance in work and school and even things here, it's a change that sometimes we're not used to, sometimes we're not comfortable with. One of the most uncomfortable changes I had was becoming a deacon. I think I've made it known to everybody, even pastor. I was like, I didn't really want it. But I thank God for that, because I got to see more of what happens with the church. I got to understand more. The way I think when I sit down, even in the back with pastor and my father, and we have our conversations, it's helped me change the way I think about certain things, whether it be about the church itself or about life or about how to handle work situations. You know, just you grow, you do things differently. Kind of moving backwards, I used to work for UCROPS, and the changeover to Martin's was weird. After Martin's, I worked for BB&T and Martin's at the same time for a little bit, and that was in stopping working for Martin's was something that I personally didn't want to do. Y'all know me. I get attached to people. Whether you know it or not, I'm probably more attached to each and every one of you in here than you'll probably ever know. That's just who I am. That's who I am as a person. So when I get attached to people, it's hard for me to leave. It's hard for me to do something different. It's hard for me to make that change. But, you know, you get to talking to people, and they're like, you're running yourself into the ground. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. Thanks, she. Thanks, Dad. you know, so you stop working at Martin's, and you focus all your work time on your BB&T. Not long after, shucks, I think before that I got full time at BB&T, so it was better for me anyway. Many of you don't know this, but I do have a new job. I'm no longer at BB&T. That's the good part. The next part y'all might not like. I'm a debt collector. I will say this, 90% of my jobs, I receive calls. So hopefully you won't be calling me. That other 10%, yes, that'll be me calling you, but 90% of the time, it'll be you calling me. Please don't call me. I'll help you out as best as I can, but please don't call me. but as time was passing with BB&T, I was realizing that a change needed to be made. I needed to do something different. And that was one of those changes in life that, you know, that I kind of was like nudged towards, even whether it was me nudging myself or somebody else nudging me, whether it was God nudging me, I don't particularly know, but I did feel that a change was needed. If you haven't noticed, there's been one word I keep repeating: change. Change is scary. Change is uncomfortable. It doesn't make you feel good a lot of the time. Even if it's a change that you want to make, there's usually something about that change that's going to make that change difficult. You know, we all like to say life happens and life comes at you fast and all that other good stuff, but sometimes it needs to happen. And that's just the truth of the matter. And for an example, let's go to Matthew 26 and verse 39. I'll give y'all a moment. All right. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." All right, now, look. If Jesus didn't want to go through a change, I mean, I can't imagine how we feel. We're talking about the Son of God here, and he's saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this. If I don't have to go through this, please, let me take this cup, let me place it right here, and let me go about my business. Let me go about keeping on doing what you want me to do, dear Heavenly Father. I just don't want to do this. It's okay to make our feelings known. It's okay to have our own opinion. That being said, sometimes our opinion doesn't matter. Because even in Jesus's case, he still had to do what he had to do. He had to go through that change. He had to go from being one of the most beloved people on earth, period, to the most hated person on earth, period. He didn't have a choice. If he wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. We all go through these changes, and God, he wants us to be like him. He wants us to change. He wants us to have a heart to change. So the biggest change, of course, that he wants us to make is for us to give our life to him. He wants us to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But that's just the first change. That's just the first part. As Christians, as followers of Christ, I'll correct myself. As humans, we like to get comfortable. We like to find that one spot on the couch that we done wiggled in and sat in for all our lives. And then once we got ourselves comfortable, we don't want to move. We don't want to move for nothing. I can attest to that because I had at least two or three people ask me for something at Thanksgiving while I was peacefully laying on the floor. I love y'all, so I do it anyway. But yeah, we like to get comfortable. But then I guess I'm running with this analogy. Once we wear out the chair or the sofa or whatever it is, we want to keep it for whatever reason. We want to just stay there. We just want to sit in it. And it ain't no good. It ain't no good to me. It ain't no good to you. It ain't no good to nobody. It's just going to sit there and be a worthless piece of furniture. What do we keep it for? Yeah, I guess it's as useful as we make it. But as far as comfort, you're not comfortable. You sitting in a chair with essentially a hole in it. That's not comfortable, you know. And that uncomfortable, that sense of being uncomfortable means something different needs to happen. Something needs to change. God wants us to grow spiritually. And as we grow spiritually, we'll grow in other ways as well, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally. You know, God just wants us to grow. And growing is just a form of change, whether we know it or not. I mean, most of y'all knew me when I was yay big. And now I'm yay big. You know, like I wasn't gonna stay yay big all my life, even though after going through life that would be okay. I wouldn't mind that. There's a lot less responsibility that we have when we are yay big. But that's not how it works. That's not how life works. We gotta grow. We gotta learn. We gotta change. Like I said before, though, we're human. You guys might not agree with me. I don't care. I believe we as humans are the most fickle creatures that God has ever created. One moment, I want a cheeseburger. The next moment, I want a slice of pizza. The next moment, I'm feeling fancy and want lobster. The next moment, just give me a piece of bread and I'll be happy. We literally are the most fickle creatures God has ever created. If you look at any other creation that God has made, they all do the same thing. If you look at If you look at a particular type of bird, you look at this bird over here, and this bird over there, and this bird over there. Three little birds. They're all, as long as they're all of the same species, they're probably all going to do the same thing. Okay, you know, adjust for mishaps and, you know, things happening, but they all do the same thing. We as humans, we all don't do the same thing. Shucks, within one human, we all don't think the we don't think the same way from one day to the next. So we're, even that being said, even believing that we are the most fickle creatures on that God has ever created, I do also believe that we were built to change. I do believe that God gave us free will. God said, hey, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you choices. Make your choices. That's God said. That's what God said. But he also gives us a piece of advice. Choose him. If nothing else, choose him. With that being said, I'm going to read a few verses and hopefully y'all are going to catch my drift. Hopefully. We'll see what happens, though. Starting at Numbers 23 and 19. And I'm going to give y'all a chance to catch up because I'm letting my brother in the back catch up, too. Numbers 23 and 19. God is not man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken or failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Moving on to the next one. 1 Samuel 15 and 29. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will his mind change. For he is not human that he should change his mind. Do we see a pattern here? Jeremiah 33 and 25. Alrighty. But this is what the Lord says. I would no more reject my people than I would change my laws that govern night and day, earth and sky. And then Malachi 3 verse 6. God was being a little potentially violent here. It says, I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Yeah, that one was a bit much. But clearly it was necessary for the time. We change. That's a given. But even through all of this change that we go through, there's one thing that doesn't. And that's God. He's made promises to us. He's going to keep those promises. He's told us things. They're going to happen. I mean, we ask, when we have a God where if we ask for something, He's gonna give us one of three answers. Yes, no, or wait. He's very patient with us, even when we don't deserve it. You know, he's telling us to do something, and his patience does wear thin at times. I have to say that. But he gives us chance after chance after chance to do what's right. He wants us to succeed in life. He wants us to be like I said, be like him. Therefore, he has no choice but to not change. If he were to change, he'd be as fickle as us. But we were built like him. He wasn't built like us. You know, he always is going to be there for us. He's always, even through the weird, scary, uncomfortable things that don't make you feel good, he wants to sit there and he wants to hold your hand. He wants to be right by your side as we go through this crazy life that we have to go through at the moment. Until we all go to heaven, whenever that time may be. I've come to the realization, at least within myself, that I could step out this door and drop dead. Nobody in here would like that. No. But it'd be okay. 'Cause I know where I'm going. But as long as I'm here, and I truly believe even as long as we're in heaven, God's going to be there for the weird changes. God's going to be there for the difficult things that we have to go through. It, we're never alone. I do remember having a sermon about that. Yeah, we're never alone. We're never going to be alone. And as long as we choose Christ, he's going to be there. So I'm going to read one more scripture and I'm going to pray. Isaiah 41 and 10. And I'll give you a moment to get there if you so choose. All right. And I know my version says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Dear Lord, thank you.